Before I take it back, I add more to it. He's been good. He's been good. He's been good. Feel like going another way today. John chapter 15. Verse 7. Reading some verses following. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, and even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that you might remain, that my joy might remain in you, and that you, your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Let every heart pray. God, how we thank you for your presence. For in your presence is fullness of joy. We don't have to invite you to this preaching time. God, you are just speaking. We want you to know that as your servants, we are listening. Speak to us now, Lord God, whatever you will, that we might know your commandments and your statutes, so that we could abide in your love. And Lord God, so that we could be worthy of being called your friends. Speak now to your people, Lord God, who wait to hear a word from you, that their bowed down heads might be lifted up, that their hearts might be encouraged, Lord God, that somebody today who doesn't know you and the free pardon of their sins might come to know you as Savior and Lord and friend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm convinced more than ever nowadays that folks must not have too many friends. It's the only reason I can explain, the only way I can explain what I see going on in the world is that folk just must not have many friends. Amen. When you show up at Mother Emmanuel and sit through a Bible study and get up and shoot some people, you must not have many friends. When you are going through your life on the brink of a mental breakdown every single day, nobody knows it but you, or so you think, but your behavior is identifying that there are some problems in your life that a good friend could have helped you with. Yes. I'm convinced that we must not have very many friends. Yeah, yeah. I'm convinced when I talk to people from time to time and they tell me about some of the things that are going on in some of our houses. Here's where you don't say amen, don't even nod your head. That people must not have very many friends. And listen, you can be in the midst of a whole lot of people.
Yes, sir.
And still not have a friend. Hundreds of people in your circle, in your network, buzzing around about you, with whom you talk and laugh and smile, but deep down on the inside, nobody knows what you're going through because you don't have a friend.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Friends are so important that everybody can't be your friend. If God has set you free from the habit of smoking whatever it is you used to smoke that had you in bondage. People who smoke what you smoke when you were in bondage can't be your friends no more.
Yeah, tell the truth.
I never smoked crack. Yeah, but people who drink exactly the same thing you used to drink.
Yeah.
When you couldn't get up for work. Still hanging around you, and the smell of old alcohol still sends your senses crazy. Into a frenzy. They're not your friends. Friends are special people. Friends are not acquaintances. They're not people that you know. They're people with whom you are connected at the heart level. You don't have surface conversations with friends. When they ask you how you doing, they want to know how you're doing. And they know that you've been doing sometimes pretty poorly, and they've been with you in the low moments of your life. The Bible says a friend loveth at all times. And a brother is for adversity. When things aren't going well, your friends show up.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. When things aren't going well, your friends show up. And when things are going well, be aware of who's hanging around you. Because they're not likely your friends. Friends are not transactional. You got something, so they're with you, so they can get some of what. Am I the only one? Oh, you up here in Ike Leggett's office. I know you before I got here. I don't need to know you now. But when you're at your worst, in your lowest moment, when the tragedy has struck you and your house, and you're in need and you're broken and you're all over the place, your friend, the one who loves you,
yes,
is going to show up.
Yes.
Show up because here's what friends do. In times, in low times and difficult times, friends make the sacrifice of their time and their effort and their substance to make sure that you are all right.
Yeah.
Isn't it good sometimes when somebody just to come and check on you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When somebody comes to see about you?
Yeah.
I'm gonna put Brother Rob out here for a minute. He's laughing. Oh God, what is he gonna say now? So I hurt my back fishing. It was big and it wasn't a fish, and I tried to get it on the boat. And it's a long story. But my back was hurting, and winter came after the back was hurt, and the first snow came. Some of y'all haven't seen my house. It's got a driveway that goes downhill. So you got to shovel like this, and you got to pull up like that all the way down the driveway. And I was wondering in the snow, because kids aren't like my brother and I. When the snow, we couldn't wait for school to be closed. We going in the white section to make some money. Soon as they would call 301, we'd like, all right, let's go. It didn't even matter that we didn't even have gloves. We would put tube socks on our hands. Y'all ain't from Crestmont. You don't know nothing about this. Go borrow somebody's shovel just to go over because it was time to make money. I don't mind shoveling snow, but this time I couldn't do it. and I didn't know how it was going to happen. More than this, I had used up all the salt from last winter. And I got a call from my brother, my friend. I said, Reverend? That's what he says when he calls. Reverend? I was down at the Home Depot and I picked you up some salt. I'm going to drop it off for you. That's what friends do. He didn't come asking me how my back was. He knew I was going to tell him it was fine. He knew that I had some issues, but he said, while I'm here, I'm going to be thinking about my friend. I'm going to pick up some salt for him. I appreciate that, brother. I appreciate friend. You don't need know how much you appreciate a friend until you need a friend to be a friend. Jesus, in this text, goes through of all the wonderful things about him being the Son of God. I'm connected to God. I'm the Son of God. And listen, if you remain connected in me, you got privileges. Because I'm Jesus. I'm the Son of God. If you abide in me, live in me, and let me live in you, you can ask whatever you want, and it's going to be done for you. Isn't that a privilege? Y'all don't understand it. So y'all don't remember what it was like when you were not living in Christ. Everybody remember the BC days? The before Christ? The before conversion? In those moments when you were buck wild and crazy doing everything you want to do? Don't make me call you out. Everything you were big and bad enough to do, you were doing, and you were doing it on your way to hell. And you couldn't wait for eternal hell. You was going to do it so much that hell was right with you where you were living. Y'all remember that? You remember the feeling you had when you first came up the aisle and gave your life to Jesus Christ? Wasn't it a relief? And Jesus now says that now that you're in me and I'm in you, ask what you will. I'm going to give it to you. And if you keep my commandments, my love is going to continue in you. And then Jesus says something that is completely scandalous. He says this: I'm no longer going to call you servant because I'm the king and everybody serves me. I'm going to call you sinner, saved by grace, messed up, jacked up, rebellious, angry, inconsistent, uncommitted. I'm just raising my hand. I'm not talking about y'all. Amen. Well, actually, I am. But we're all in this together. Jesus says, I'm going to call you friend.
Yes, sir.
Scandalous messed up me. Because now I'm not only in the company of God, but Jesus is now my homeboy. Gentlemen in the room, you have homeboys, don't you? You understand what it's like? Ride or die. Good or bad. We out here together. Don't know what you did wrong, but if they want to fight you, I'm fighting them. Y'all didn't grow up in Crest Mike. I know you did. It must be different in Emery Grove. I know it must be. People who know you and your mother and your grandmother and your grandfather, all the scandalous stuff that happens in your family, and choose to love you anyway. Friends. And Jesus, the Son of the Maker of the world, says that he's now going to call me his friend. Jesus, can I call you up in the middle of the night when I have a problem? I got you. When I'm messed up and I feel worthless, Jesus, can you come and meet my needs?
Yeah, I got you.
When the whole world tells you that you're worth nothing, Jesus says, you're my friend and I'm going to come be with you. Hallelujah. Sister Sandra, when the world has come against you and wants to fight you, Jesus says, I got this.
Amen. Yeah.
My big brother was my guy. I would talk myself into some situations when I was growing up. But my brother Big Kev. Yeah, my brother was bigger than me. My brother would come behind me and threaten people. Here's what he said. I don't care what he did. Mess with him, you got to deal with me. Isn't it a good thing to have a friend? Yeah. When they come against you, you don't have to fuss with them.
Nope.
You don't have to fight with them. You don't have to pull your earrings off and put no Vaseline all over your face. You don't have to take your shoes off. You don't have to do anything. But say, my friend, go get him. Jesus shows up to fight your battle. If you hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battle, victory will be yours. Why? Because he's that kind of friend. Jesus tells the disciples, I'm no longer calling you servant. You are my friends if you do what I command you to do. And what Jesus commanded them to do was love one another. Because I'm your friend and you're my friend and we love one another, love somebody else. This is where we run into problems. Because when it comes down and the deal goes down, often we are not very good friends of Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. How is it that we forget how good a friend Jesus has been 1 minute after he's done what he's done to prove that he's friends? I'm not going to ask you to think about the stuff that you're in. Everybody here is in something right now. So I'm going to ask you to test your memory and think back to the last thing that Jesus really did for you. I can't imagine there's anybody under the sound of my voice for whom Jesus has never done anything. But think back to the last thing. Think about the mess you were in. Think about how you were feeling in the midst of the mess. Think about how badly you needed somebody to come and get you out of the mess. And think about what Jesus had to overcome to clean up the mess that you were in. Think about it. You remember the situation. You know it by name. You know all the people. You know all the feelings. You know what was at stake and at risk. You got all of that. And somehow now, in the mess that you're in, you don't think that your friend still loves you enough to get you out of the mess that you're in now. And we run everywhere. Looking for people who are not our friends. To do things that Jesus, our only true friend, is going to do for us.
Yes.
You can call me friend all you want. But you better come and act like it sometime. Jesus acts like your friend all the time. How do we know? Greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friend. Pastoral true confession. I drank a lot of bottles of Thunderbird. In my life. Some of you have been raised in Montgomery County where you don't drink things like Thunderbird. It's 2018, you're having Merlot now. The sickness and the craziness in the town where I grew up had us, with our parents who were alcoholics, trying to stand up and become alcoholics.
Amen.
At 14 and 15 years old.
Amen.
When we would stand on the corner and put 50 cents together and a quarter together and a dime together to get the old heads to go in the bar and get us something to drink, and we would stand out stupid and crazy and ignorant, sinful, disconnected and detached and rebellious on the corner and pass a bottle of Thunderbird around and drink it like we were doing something. It was an achievement. I would argue that nothing, listen, you don't pass a bottle to somebody you don't know. Or more likely to take a bottle from somebody you don't know.
Right.
What's in the backwash? I don't know how I get my
myself in places like this is crazy. My point is, I had to trust the brothers who were in the circle.
Right?
To be standing there, these are dudes that I thought I loved, that were tight with me, that were down for me. Right? And we would go from the circle drinking the Thunderbird to the party. And I don't know how it was in every grove, down a bug, wherever y'all used to go, but every now and again in Crescent Mine, a fight would break out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not everybody can drink Thunderbird. You drink too much, you start fighting people. But I could tell in that moment when the fight broke out who really loved me. The ones who would start the fight, the ones when the fight actually broke out, the ones with the biggest mouths, the ones who were pleasured that they loved me so much, oh, I'm down with you, were the first ones out the door. Very few of those brothers would die for me. Jesus says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. I'm a friend of God. That's 100% shoutable right there. Listen, I don't care what you say to me, what you think about me, what you do to me, it does not matter. I am a friend of God. If it upsets you, if it bothers you, that's your issue. I am a friend of God, and I know it because he died already for me. The gift of what we're going to celebrate at this table is the greatest gift that could ever be given.
Thank you.
Amen. Y'all remember the Golden Girls?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. Second verse. And if you threw a party and invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be for me, and a heart attack would say,
thank you for being a friend.
Y'all remember this?
Yeah.
You would see, if you threw a party, that the biggest gift would be for me, and the card attached would say, thank you for being a friend. Today Jesus invites us to his birthday party.
Amen.
To a party celebrating our friendship.
Yes.
And at the party that he told us to celebrate, on the table is the biggest gift that anybody could ever get. Why is it the biggest gift? Because he already told us. No greater gift than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. No Thunderbird, no parties, no fights involved.
Amen.
But the living of my everyday life is at stake on this table. More important, the living of the everyday life of Jesus, our Savior, is on this table. I don't have to worry about him catching my back at the fight, at the party, because he took the fight to himself early.
Yes.
Body broken for me, because he's my friend, and he loves me. Blood spilled on the ground for me. Why? Because he loves me. I'm his friend. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Yes,
Jesus loves me. Because he proved it on the cross.
Yes, he did.
What a friend.
we have in Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Here's the condition. Here's what the Bible says about friendship. In order to have a friend, we skip by this one. We don't mess with this one much because it's about responsibility and commitment. In order to have a friend, you must first prove yourself friendly. You need a friend, you want a friend, but you haven't proven yourself to be worthy of friendship. Isn't that crazy? It really isn't. It makes good sense, doesn't it? How are you going to receive my friendship and when the deal goes down, you haven't proven yourself worthy of being a friend to me? Let's put that piece in the Old Testament in context about what we just talked about. Jesus has already proven his friendship to us. What have you proven to Jesus? Church all quiet. What have you done to demonstrate to Jesus that you're willing to return the favor to him? We missed an opportunity. There was nothing we could have done anyway while it was hanging on the cross, but Jesus is yet alive. Come on, somebody. He's out of the grave. This isn't the Catholic Church where you see him on the cross. Jesus is off the cross. Been in the grave, resurrected, sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. So there's still an opportunity to prove ourselves friendly to Jesus. What Jesus is really asking is this: I gave my life for you because I love you. Will you give your life to me? Will you give your life to me? There's a difference in giving our lives to Jesus than him giving our life for us. On Good Friday, he gave his life and died and was buried. In 2018, when we give Jesus our lives, we are buried with him. But because he got out of the grave, we're also resurrected with him. When I give my life to Jesus Christ, I'm about giving my life for eternal life. That's a real friend, isn't it? And as a Christian, every day I've got an opportunity to prove myself friendly to Jesus. And it comes at the oddest times. You know how friends will call you at 3 o'clock in the morning, you got to get up and talk to them on the telephone, sleepy, cussing under your breath, but you still listening? I'm sorry, y'all don't cuss. I'm sorry. There's some fake people in this audience. Jesus wants us to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to hear what he has to say to us. Jesus wants us to do something for him that is inconvenient for us. Jesus wants us to do like we do with some of our friends. They used to come up to me. Tim, let me hold a dub. Right? And my instinct was to pull whatever's in my pocket out and give it to them because that's my friend and I love them. But we won't pull out anything to give to Jesus. Jesus calls us to say, come on, let me talk with you in prayer and in Bible study. I just want to hang out. Because there's something magical that happens when we hang out. Come, study scripture. Come, let me talk to you by the power of my spirit. Spend some time meditating on me so I can tell you what I need you to know. And we won't come. And somebody, under the sound of my voice right now, is wondering what it is you can give to Jesus to prove yourself friendly. There's only one thing. It's a life for a life. Jesus wants your life fully committed to him. Fully committed to him. Not one toe in the water and one toe out. Fully committed to him because of the depth of his love and his friendship. The good news is this. We are his friends. All the benefits of his friendship come to us if we would just keep his commandment. Stand to your feet. Thank you for the depth of your love for us. Not the play love, not the fake love that we talk to each other about. Not the sometime love that we give.